your host, Wes, back after the two-week hiatus due to some technical and health issues, but I am joined, as always, from the Big Island in Hawaii. Eric, how's it going, buddy?
Good, good. Hello.
So what'd you do with your 2 weeks off besides be sick?
Well, my daughter's starting soccer, HISA soccer out here, and I'm going to assistant coach, so we've been doing a little bit of that. I've been training still for that half Ironman that's in June. I'm sore as heck today. I did a 58 or 56 mile bike ride yesterday, so I'm a little bit sore.
I would be.
Yeah. But yeah, just trying to keep myself busy.
Well, that sounds like fun. I've been keeping myself busy here as well. Had to replace this monitor here in the studio. That's why we haven't been able to record. So, but it's fixed. It's a nice big TV. It's a nice big 28-inch monitor, so I can't miss a thing.
Nice.
All right. So, with that being said, let's get right down to business. Of course, this is the episode before the Super Bowl, Eric, and it is the Green Bay Packers taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both won their games against the Jets, the Bears and the Jets, respectively. Looking back at those games, looking forward to Sunday's game, what do you think the biggest key of the game? Before we start picking teams, what do you think the biggest key that the Packers showed you and the Steelers showed you going towards the Super Bowl out of those last two games?
Well, in their last playoff games, for me, the Packers didn't look as strong as I thought they were going to look. The Steelers, on the other hand, did look pretty strong to me. And, of course, Ben Roethlisberger always looks strong when people are trying to tackle him and they're just falling off him.
He is hard to get down.
What's that?
He is hard to get down, that is for sure.
Yeah, the guy's a beast. the biggest thing, I guess, maybe it's not even a big deal because the replacement was so good, but the center Pouncey going out for the Steelers, it didn't seem to affect him too much in that game, but I'm just curious how that's going to play out in the Super Bowl and if Green Bay is going to focus on that at all. What do you think? It seemed like the replacement did pretty good.
Yeah, the replacement center for the Steelers, who replaced Pouncey? I can't think of his name right now. You have that in front of you somewhere, probably.
Yeah, I'll find it.
He did a very good job. The offensive line, I think what it is the Steelers are just so deep on the offensive line because Pittsburgh, when you think Pittsburgh, you always think defense, running game. And that's why I don't think Big Ben gets the credit that he deserves. You know, this is going to be his third Super Bowl if they win. Because, I mean, this man is very good. His first Super Bowl wasn't the best. The second one, the last one against Arizona, he had a very great game. I don't have the stats on that one. I have to write them down. But he had a very good game. I think that's not going to be a key issue. What they showed me out of that game is that they play to win, you know, which everybody should win. You play to win the game, Herm Edwards always used to say. I love that clip. but they basically showed that even though we had the distraction from Ben in the earlier of the year and all this other stuff, Santonio Holmes, the reason he was traded away, they had all those problems. They've overcome over it. And you know, they looked good against the Jets, and they're overcomers. Packers have had a lot to prove all year. They needed a win against the Bears in week 17 to get in the playoffs. They got that win. They've rolled through the playoffs. They beat the Bears in Chicago in a very, very good game there for the most part.
yeah, I thought it was a good game, too.
My whole thing is, Jay Cutler, you freaking quitter. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm pissed right now. I didn't get to say my piece about all this. He needs to be... I'm getting an echo. What's going on there? He quit. He quit on the Bears. He quit on Chicago. Because he was seen 2 or 3 days later walking down Rodeo Drive perfectly fine.
Oh, geez, yeah. I had mixed feelings about it at first. My instinct as a football player, high school football player anyways, and when you're in high school and elementary school, middle school, and you're watching the pros and the college athletes, and you're into it, and you hear these tough guy stories of the guys that win, and the guys that are good players, and they get and they almost all have a story of getting injured in the game, maybe going to the sideline for one play, getting taped up. Well, I think it was the safety for the Raiders in San Francisco. He was the safety for San Francisco for a while. You know who I'm talking about?
Long?
Huh?
Howie Long? No, he was in
lineman. No, he was a defensive lineman. Anyways, the guy like cut his pinky finger off or something.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I just can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, his name slips me. But all those guys, there were certain players that would get injured that were refused to be helped off the field. They had so much pride that they wouldn't do that. So yeah, when the thing happened with Jake Cutler, and I'm thinking, well, you know, it's a modern day. You're easier on the quarterbacks. I think you're kind of right though. This was a huge game. You know, there's guys that have played with broken bones. Yeah, suck it up. You got a sprained wrist, a sprained knee. Get in there and try to make the best of it. Try to forget the pain, because there's certain, you know, techniques that you can use, especially, I mean, it's like a battle-borne situation. When you're in battle and you have an injury, you just figure out a way to deal with it and play through it no matter what it is. You yeah. find that adrenaline and you find that, you know, ninja-ness, you know, and you dig down and you do what you got to do. And yeah, it seemed like Cutler kind of buried his head in the sand or something.
It just, to me, it was just a whole bunch of quit in his part. I mean, mm-hmm. come on. You're playing for the Chicago Bears. I'll give the Bears credit. I don't like any team from Chicago at all. I hate every Chicago team. But I will give the Bears this. They are a historic team. All right, you've got some great players that came out of there, some great coaches that came out of there. You're playing, you're one game away from the Super Bowl. You're a half a game away, okay, when he went out. You've got, 30 minutes left of playtime, and you can't pull up the panties, balls up, and play the game to take your team to the Super Bowl. You've got 2 weeks afterwards. You can be fine. And then to see him walking down Rodeo Drive, perfectly fine, no limp, nothing, and then get all pissed off because everybody's mad at him. They have a right.
Yeah.
Bears fans are like Browns fans and Lions fans and Packers fans and Steelers fans. They're loyal, thick and thin. All the way through. You screw them, they're going to let you know it. And that's what Jay Cutler did. He effectively, for lack of a better word, bleeped the Chicago Bears. Now, the mm-hmm. third-string quarterback came in and played a hell of a game in Cutler's place. Make Cutler the backup and make this guy the starter next year. That's all I'm saying. You're going to get some heart.
Due to toughness.
Oh, that was I'll give them credit. I'll give that boy credit. He came in and played a heck of a game. He had no chance of winning, but he put everything he could against those Packers.
Yeah. Now, do you think if Cutler stayed in the game, Chicago still loses, maybe Cutler fumbles the ball or turns the ball over a couple times during his injury, but finishes the game, do you think the fans would be arguing that they should have taken Cutler out of the game and put somebody else in?
No, in Chicago fans, probably, because they're just picky little freaks who can't seem to make up their mind.
The only way Cutler could have won in this whole thing is if he would have stayed in the game and won the game, too.
Yeah, if he had stayed in the game and had a fumble and I had found out about its injury, I would have been okay with it. Me personally, as just an observator of all sports, I would have been fine with it, because he had toughed it up, ballsed it out, and played the game. And the fumble could have been, who knows what the fumble, we can't say exactly what it would have been. I mean, a defender could have come back and hit him as he's trying to throw the game-winning pass. We don't know. So I could live with that. I can't live as a sports fan him not finishing out the game when he... If his knee was that bad, why was he on the elliptical bike? Why was he walking down Rodeo Drive? If his knee's that bad, I've had a bad knee injury. I wasn't up 2 days later walking.
Yeah.
I wasn't up 2 weeks later walking.
Yeah, same with me. I tore my MCL, and the moment it happened, I hit the ground. I was crawling on the ground. I was trying to stand up, and I didn't know what had happened. I'd never had an injury like that before, but I was playing basketball, planted my foot, and my weight just went the wrong way. My knee, I heard the knee pop. Everybody else heard the knee pop. I went down. I got up on my left leg because it was my right leg, and I just couldn't stand on the right leg. So yeah, that's he could. It couldn't have been that bad for him.
Yeah, he slap a brace on that thing and get back out there, son. As he's older than me, and I'm saying son. Wait, no, I think he's my age. Anyways, suck it up, play the game. You know, there's a million people who would have been wanting to be in his shoes. One win away from the Super Bowl. Every football player, from Pee Wee all the way to their last years in college, people who didn't make the NFL, okay, have dreamed of getting in the Super Bowl. I was one of them. You were one of them. We didn't get that chance. We would kill to have been in his shoes.
Absolutely.
So, all right, I'm done with Jay Cutler.
One last note on that whole thing was right. I thought something that positive that came out of it was his teammates came to his defense, which I thought was pretty cool.
Now that I'll give him props for, yes. Especially Urlacher. He, after the game, I wish I had this clip, he went off on the media. Because they were already questioning Cutler, which they had the right to do. I mean, come on. One win. But he stood there. He got angry. He basically said, don't question Jay Cutler's toughness. Only we can as his teammates, and we're not questioning it. If he's hurt, he's hurt. And that's basically the gist of what he said. And then basically, that was the end of the talk. Nobody yeah. really wanted to mess with Urlacher and after that. Yeah, I don't want to piss off Urlacher and mess with him either.
Heck no.
But yeah, I can see it. At least they gathered around him. I don't know if they are anymore or not. After seeing what happened in Rodeo Drive, I don't know. That's yet to be seen. We haven't really heard anything from him. But back to the Super Bowl talk. We're going to break this one down here. It is this Sunday, February 6th. Starting at 6 p.m., but the pregame starts, of course, in Fox 4 hours earlier at 2. Why do we need 4 hours of pregame?
So you can start drinking beer and eating chips and
getting
hamburgers. Yeah.
Let's
priming yourself for the game.
Yeah, pretty much. By then, you've had so much food and fat and everything, you sleep half the game.
That's what I did during the Pro Bowl. Slept.
I watched bits and pieces of it, and then I must admit, I went and I ordered the wrestling pay-per-view, so I didn't get to see all the Pro Bowl. I saw the highlights. It was a very good game. AFC defense was just not very good.
Yeah.
But with the Super Bowl this Sunday, it's time for us to break it down and make those big old picks. Now, in the playoffs, I am 7-3. You are 6-4. You're one game behind me. But you can still win it, Eric, because the Super Bowl will be worth 2 points, because it's a huge game. So if you get it right, you can win. I get it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good.
So,
I thought we were tied, though.
Nope. I did the math.
Okay.
We both had undefeated weeks. You had the 4-0 the first week, and then I got the conference games perfect.
The 2-0?
Yep.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I had that rough first week. I mean, yeah. Who would have thought Seattle would have won the game, but... But I'll start first. That'll give you time to think about what I say, because I think I already know what you have in mind. I'm going to pick the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why. Aaron Rodgers. I think that he is going to be the MVP of this game. The running game against the Steelers is going to be tough. Okay, because they have that great defensive line. They have the great linebackers there in the middle to help shut down that run. I think if the Packers can get somewhat, just a smidge of a running game going against these Steelers, that will set up the play-action pass, and will give Rodgers control of the game. The secondary, the safeties and the corners of the Steelers, great players, but I think Rodgers is out to get from under Brett Favre's shadow in Green Bay. Because they're still talking about Brett Favre on ESPN about the Packers. And that's bull. This is Aaron Rodgers' team. Yeah, this is Aaron Rodgers' team. Brett Favre hasn't been in the with the Packers for the last three seasons. It's been Aaron Rodgers' team. It's been built around him. He has played the game. He has given his heart and soul to this team. And there's still some Packer fans out there that, I'm sorry, you don't deserve to celebrate if the Packers win because you were, oh, he isn't as great as Favre still. He hasn't proven anything to me unless he wins the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. Brett Favre isn't your greatest quarterback of all time for the Packers. Brett Starr was. Favre, he was like a best Packer quarterback. Sorry. And after this Super Bowl, I think with Aaron Rodgers, Packers have more of a chance at making back to the Super Bowl than they did ever did with Favre after his. So I'm picking him because of that. I think he's going to start lighting him up. He's very elusive in the pocket. He can play the game. He knows the game. He's always one step ahead. He's a very, very... It's like looking at a chessboard with Aaron Rodgers. He's always two or three moves ahead of you. He sees the rush coming very well from all directions. He's really good at seeing it from his... and sensing it from his blind side. He's always getting away. Always extending the play. You know, he ain't the fastest runner in the world, but he's going to line up against you and take the hit if it means he gets the first down. He's proven that all year. He proved it against the Bears. I mean, he took a shot that should have knocked him out. Should have given him his third concussion. He gets right back up, goes back at him.
Yeah, he's definitely tough.
So, I'm giving it to the Packers. The point spread is 2.5, so I'll take it.
Well, I'm glad you're taking the Packers because I'd like to see the Packers win, but I think the Steelers are going to win. I think their defense is just too tough. Roethlisberger is just so hard to bring down. And based a little bit on both of their last games, Rodgers didn't... He had an okay game, but he didn't control the game like I'd like to see a quarterback control a playoff game. He seemed a little bit after the game. He's so collected, and he almost seemed too collected after the game. Like he not that he didn't know what was going on, but he was in shock a little bit that they still won, even though he didn't have a great game.
Oh, his business isn't done, I don't think.
The Steelers are favored by 2.5, and Packers are the underdog.
Are you sure about this? Because when I checked it last night, it was the Packers by 2.5.
Did it say Packers plus 2.5 or minus 2.5?
It was the minus 2.5.
Okay, well, that means the Packers are favored by 2.5. I thought it was the other way around.
Nope. Packers have been favored by 2.5 the last week. The Steelers have never been a favorite.
So we get the... are we going to use the 2.5 as part of our bet? So even if the Packers win by 1, I can still win?
No, we're not going to do that. That one's just for fun. This one's going to be a straight-up let's pick it, because this is going to be a heck of a game.
I swear you just said I'll take the Packers and the points. All right, we'll just do straight-up then. No,
Packers straight-up. Screw the points. Packers straight-up.
All right, I'll take the Steelers. An AFC championship. I would have taken the Packers all the way. I just didn't think the Steelers had it, and now they just seem to really be coming together so well. The only concern for me is that Pouncey being out, and if it's going to play a role in the game or not, if the Packers, you know, are going to exploit that, or if it's even anything to exploit it, you know, the backup, like we were saying earlier, did pretty good in that game. Plus, another reason I think I'm going to take the Steelers, and I got to let you tell the story because I don't have the facts. I don't know if you wanted to tell the story now, but the family that you were telling me about
before. I can tell that. All right, yeah. For those who haven't heard, I heard this morning as I was getting ready and prepping for the show and all that. There is a Pittsburgh family out of North Huntington Township there in Pennsylvania. That every single family member of the family has been born in January or February the year the Steelers won the Super Bowl. It all started when Adam Baumgartner, a math and science teacher in Norwood School District, he told another teacher about what was going on, and the teacher thought this was a cool story and got a hold of the newspaper. But he was born in January in 1979 when Pittsburgh won Super Bowl 23. His wife was born January 1980 when the Steelers won Super Bowl 24. His daughters, Alina, who is 4, and Sarah, who is 2, were born in 2006 and 2009, respectively, when the Steelers won Super Bowl 40 and 43. So, to carry on the tradition, well, guess what? They're expecting once again, and it is this weekend that is the expected delivery date. Yes, that's right. If she gives birth to this weekend, Steeler fans, well, according to Adam, the Steelers are going to win. And if they do, they're going to name her Destiny. So, my question is this, and you brought this up, Eric. That poor girl. If they don't win,
she's got a lot of pressure on her, and she doesn't even know it yet.
She's not even born. She can't even comprehend it. But yet,
yeah.
If I'm right and the Packers win for the rest of her life, she is going to be the only family member that was not born when the Steelers won the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. She's going to have to go to college, become a quarterback, and then win the Super Bowl to redeem herself.
Something. And from what it seems now, here's the funniest part of them all. When asked if Adam was going to be with his wife, if she had not delivered by the time the Super Bowl starts on Sunday, his response, she's done it before. She knows what she's doing.
Oh, man.
Ain't gonna have no more kids after this, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think I could get away with that.
Holy cow. That, cool story, but that was just a ballsy move on his part.
Yeah, so do they think she's gonna be born before the game? They don't know, yeah?
They don't know. She's due this weekend. They don't know if they're going to induce it before the game or not. But she's due this weekend.
Dare we speculate what they name her if the Steelers lose?
Black sheep?
Hopefully they'll be nice. Hopefully if they lose, it's no big deal.
I hope so, but that'll be a big... Trust me, it's all over the news. If you haven't seen it yet before you're listening to this podcast, you must live in a rock and I'm trying to figure out how you're listening. but yeah, talk about pressure. That's all I'm saying. There's another one. I don't have that article either. I guess there's a Pittsburgh County... Pennsylvania County is changing their name to Steeler County, for the month.
Talking less.
And what was it?
Oh, sorry about that. My daughter Bristol just walked in. She asked what I was doing. I was trying to whisper to her.
Oh, well, everybody heard it.
Sorry. That's Uncle Wes. You got to go.
We're doing a show, little one. There was a story. Then there's another story. I mean, they're nuts in Pennsylvania for the Steelers. I'll give them that. They're very loyal fans. I know quite a few of them. And in Pittsburgh is wrapping the newborns in a terrible towel.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow, they're really going crazy for this in Pittsburgh, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they have the most Super Bowl wins in the NFL history. I mean,
most Super Bowl appearances as well.
Yeah, the Cowboys pretty much own the name America's team, but the Steelers have kind of turned into, I guess, the NFL's team.
Well, they won't be America's team if the Steelers win, I think. I think there's more Pittsburgh fans across the country than there are Dallas fans right now. And I think part of the reason is Jerry Jones. So, those are our little side stories of the Super Bowl. But we have a few more things here, Eric. I was watching ESPN's... I was watching Dan Patrick. Because he deflected from the mothership. He was talking about prop bets. Do you know what those are?
Yes.
Okay. For those who don't know, I'll explain. A prop bet is when you take something like a Super Bowl and you make up little ads to things that happen during the Super Bowl, like who will catch the first touchdown reception? Will Roethlisberger run through these many touchdowns? Will Roger, you know, so on and so on. You take the key elements of the game outside of just betting on the game, and you bet on those too, for those who have a very, very big gambling problem. Which means you need to go get help right now. I don't do these. I might put a little money on the Super Bowl. I don't know yet. I'm still trying to convince the wife of this. I want to put about $50 on the Packers. But she's kind of, you know. I do know we go to the casino this week, and I'm already doing it. We can go to the casino and spend money on the slots. I'm putting money on the Packers.
I like the over-under bets that they do for the Super Bowl. They've got a bunch of the over-under bets. Do you have the list of prop bets in front of you?
I have some of them. I can pull them up here while we're talking.
try like to the over-under on field goals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a site for that.
Touchdowns, yeah. I think you can bet if there's going to be a safety. And that's a good odds one. That they'll give you like 20-1 odds or 50-1 odds. So if you bet a buck, you could win. But, you know, that's the odds of a safety. Safeties don't happen very often.
I have all of the prop bets up. I'm going to talk some of the funnier ones up, and then we'll take a look at some of those other ones that you want us to look at, too, some of the ones that are cool, too. The main ones I think would have cool. This one I thought was really weird. What will the Dow Jones do the following day?
Oh, that is a good one.
Will it go up, and that's a minus 140, or will it go down, which is even? Another fun one. Which ad will have the highest ranking on U.S. Today's ad meter? The Bud Light commercials, the Budweiser commercials, the Doritos commercials, the GoDaddy commercial, or the Pepsi Max commercial? Now, if they play the Pepsi Max and the Doritos commercial I voted for, because they had this contest between the two of them, I don't know if you heard about that, you could help vote for their commercials. The top ones, or the ones I voted for, I'm going to pick the Doritos 11-2.
Is it the same contest they had last year where they had amateurs do the... Okay, yeah, I remember
same
that.
Same contest this year, except Pepsi Max joined it instead of just Doritos. I watched them, the top five finalists. Hilarious. There is one. This is the one I voted for. It's the one with the husband. If you see it, this is the one. The husband is trying to eat all this food. He's on a diet and everything, and he can't have calories. The reason I thought it was funny is because it's personal to me, too. Because as I am on a diet as well. He's hiding everywhere. He's eating a cheeseburger in the shower, and she finds him, you know. And then he's out in the park, and he opens up a Pepsi Max and starts drinking it. And his wife comes over, and he starts freaking out, and she's got this big grin on her face. And she starts drinking the Pepsi Max. And they're like, okay. And they run their little ad, and this jogger comes, sits next to her. This young jogger comes sit next to him, and he starts staring at her. And then he realizes, oh, crap, my wife is next to me. Looks at his wife. His wife gets mad, rears back, throws the Pepsi Max can at her, and nails the jogger in the face. Because he ducks down. I laughed so hard, and that was my vote for that one. So hopefully that's the one. The one I can't remember which one. I'm trying to think. Which one was the Doritos? Oh, it's a little dog. It's this guy and his girlfriend. He's got a bag of Doritos, and he's on the inside of the door, and there's this little pug outside, and he's making fun of the pug. You want a Dorito? You want a Dorito? And this pug runs, jumps in the midair, slams into this into the window, and rips the door off the handles, off the hinges, and right onto the guy, and then starts eating his Doritos bag. So I voted for that one because the rest of the Dorito ones were kind of but so
yeah, I'm looking forward to the ads this year. That's always fun.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's when it comes to Super Bowl, you've got two different cults. You got those who, well, three. You've got those who watch the game and the game only. Then you got those who watch for the ads, and then you got those who do both. I'm one of the both. I love the ads. I love the game. I don't care who's in it. I normally throw a party. I'm not this year because I have a radio show at the same time that I can't get out of.
So you're going to have it, are you going to be able to watch it during your radio show?
Yep. That's what this 20-inch monitor TV is for. I can hook the cable up to it. So I'll be able to do my radio show on BGL and still do this and watch the game. Number three is, how many times will Fox mention Brett Favre on air? Tape segments do not count. The over-under is 2.5. I'm saying over.
I think so, too. I'm going to take the over, too.
You got Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And that's easy there. Actually, I think they put that a little low. Next one is who will Fox say has better hair? Tape segments do not count as well. Troy Polamalu or Clay Matthews Jr.? I think Polamalu. I can't say.
I think so too. I love those commercials too with the shampoo.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious.
Did you use my shampoo? No. And they pan over to him and his hair grows a little bit. They pan away. Are you sure? They pan back to him and he's got like this big old head of hair. He's like, okay, yeah.
Those commercials are hilarious. They've got a few radio ones too that are hilarious.
Yeah, the one where the guy's got the shampoo in his hand and he's showing Troy his handful of shampoo, and Troy takes the guy's hand and slaps him, the guy, in his face with it, and he's looking at it and he sees little Troy Polamalu cells in the micro cells or whatever in the hair gel itself. But
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, Troy grabs the guy's hand and slaps him, the guy, in his own face with his own hand. It's pretty good.
I'll have to see if I can find that one. That one sounds funny. Here's another one. Time's lockout is mentioned on Fox. No tape segments. The over-under is 1.5. I say over.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
Times they say lockout. The actual word when they're talking about the
because
NFL
the
lockout.
NFL lockout, yep, that they're talking about that seems adamant.
They have to say lockout in the context of the NFL lockout. So they say 1.5. I say they go 3, so I'm going over.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that as well.
Color, this is a good one. Color of Gatorade dumped on the winning coach. You can pick blue, clear as water, lime green, orange, red, or yellow. It always seems to be blue, so I would pick blue.
Well, I think if the Steelers win, it's going to be yellow. I think the Steelers are going to have yellow in their Gatorade.
And Packers will have the lime green.
Yeah.
I mean, cool that happens.
Yeah.
Next one, Christina Aguilera's hair color, anything but blonde for the national anthem. Odds are, I mean, you can pick yes or no. I forget what, I didn't look them up, what it is. But yeah, you can bet on that. You can also bet, will Fergie be dressed in a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader outfit at any time during halftime? I'm saying yes. And so is most of the male population watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm hoping yes.
You're hoping yes. The wife's not in the room, right?
No.
So I've got all these prep bits up. Is there
just do you have a list of like the who scores the first touchdown?
Yes. Are you talking team-wise or player-wise?
I think they give a player in general-wise from either team, don't they? Like, yep. It can be the field goal kicker, it can be a receiver, a quarterback, a running back.
Let me look up here, see what we got here.
Yeah, usually they give like a 5-1 or 10-1 odds per individual player. That's always a fun one. And then the over under on touchdowns, total touchdowns for both teams.
Yep. We have that. How many successful 3-point field goals will be kicked in the game? We have the exact number of 3-point field goals kicked in the game. You can bet on the longest field goal, the exact number of points by the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
The 4 points is 2,500 to 1. The lowest odds is 24, which is 8-1.
Yeah.
After that, it gets pretty 60-1, 20-1, all that. So,
what's the field goal over under for both teams? Does it give it? I'm gonna put it at like 3.5 or 4 for combined field goals.
They do not have a line on that right now. They have it here, but they don't have a line on it.
What are you guessing for that? What would you
field goals? I would think
both teams combined.
Both teams combined. I'm gonna say over under 5.5.
Oh, that's a lot of field goals.
Yeah.
2 for 1 team and 3 for the other team.
I think this is going to be a really tight game, Eric. I mean, tight.
Defensive battle, eh?
Yeah. I think Roethlisberger is going to throw a TD pass. I think Rodgers is going to throw 2. And I think that's going to be the difference of the game. And the rest is going to come down to field goals and defense.
The red zone's going to be tight.
Yeah. I really do. Now, cause I would like to see this be a tight game because these are two historic franchises. You know, I don't want to see a blowout. I want to see something kind of like Pittsburgh-Arizona.
Yeah, that was a good Super Bowl.
That was a really tight, or St. Louis-Tennessee, a really tight game that comes down to those last couple of minutes, you know. Of the games over in the last quarter, it's boring. If it's over by halfway through the third, it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because one team's already celebrating. I like the Super Bowls where it's down to those last 5 minutes, and you got to balls up, and you've got to play with everything and leave it all on the line. You know, that's what I like seeing in a Super Bowl. You don't get that here of a slate. But this one, I think it really is going to come down to who has the ball last.
That'd be great. That's the way you want the Super Bowl to be.
Oh, yeah. It might even be the first overtime Super Bowl, I'm thinking.
Oh, that would be cool, but I hate the overtime rule so bad, I don't know if I'd even want to see that. Especially if whoever won the coin toss won the game.
All they'd have to do is throw a touchdown. Oh, you can bet on that, too. The opening coin toss.
Oh, yeah. That's a 50-50 bet.
Yep. That's kind of stupid, but hey.
I just thought of odds for the Super Bowl. What team gets busted first? What player from what team after the Super Bowl's over for some kind of criminal offense?
Well, it's definitely going to be a Steeler.
Steeler for stealing?
For stealing. It'd be a college girl's innocence, and it'll be Big Ben. Sorry.
Hey, man, the odds, that's probably the odds on favorite right there. You nailed
it. He ignored those questions. I'm sorry, Pittsburgh fans, if you're listening. I'm going to make fun of Big Ben for the rest of my life because, one, I'm a Browns fan. I hate the Steelers. That did not come into effect when I made this pick. Let the record show. I was actually considering the Steelers. You can ask my wife. She's been hearing me over here look at stats and thinking and mumbling to myself, you know. She's heard me say Steelers to win 3 or 4 different times. I've gone back and forth on this. I'm just now locking it in. And it pained me to pick them over the Jets, but I picked them.
Yeah.
See, when it comes to betting and having that record, I play smart. I separate my fanism, you know, for the most part, my homerism. But come on. The man has gotten twice in the last, 36 months been accused of sexual assault?
He reminds me of like a modern day Babe Ruth. Wasn't Babe Ruth kind of a ladies' man off the field? Yeah. But they didn't. I don't think they really got in trouble for it then.
No, because back then women weren't what they got now. You know?
Yeah.
And that's not a sexist. Oh man, I'm going to get some emails on this. That's not sexist. I'm just saying it was the time period. Women did not have the rights that they do now. They did not have the voice that they do now.
That's nice save, Wes.
Thank you. I already saw it in my mind. As soon as I said, I went, oh, shit. I'm going to get some email.
I was wondering how you're going to get out of that. That was well put and honest.
Yes. So, see, I may have a mouth, but I know better. Yeah, I could see that, definitely. But, come on, 36 months, twice, and everybody's making all these jokes, and Pittsburgh fans are getting so mad. Everybody's making, oh, the Steelers won, the women of Pittsburgh are safe for another week, you know? Of course, I made that joke, too. I said, I'm picking the Steelers to win just because I want the women of Pittsburgh to be safe for another 2 weeks. I'm sorry, though, Dallas. Lock up your wives and daughters. I got a lot of flack on that one, too. But, so, we're going to move along here. You have picked the Super Bowl as Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I have picked it as the Green Bay Packers. I will be calling you Sunday to rub it in your face.
Oh, we'll see. I like the way you set that up, though. You're making the game worth 2 points, which
gives you a shot.
Yeah, that way we don't have a tie. Nobody wants to end a season on a tie.
I'm either going to be winning by three or you're going to be winning by one.
Right. Perfect. So,
I mean, if you were two away, I wouldn't have made it, but I'm sitting there, it might be cool, you know, I'll give them a shot. Even though it's a shot in the dark, because the Packers are going to win. hey, I've only lost two Super Bowl picks in the last decade, so careful. One of them was Arizona, and the other one was the Patriots' first Super Bowl. I picked the Rams. When they went and beat the Rams that first time to start their dying little run.
Oh, yeah. New England 20, St. Louis 17.
Yep. Those are the only two times I've lost here. It was late. I've gotten every one right since, so.
That's a pretty good record.
I'm actually proud of that record. It's better than my basketball tourney record. Speaking of basketball, we're going to move on to the NBA, where the Cavs, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the LeBron James-less Cleveland Cavaliers, have skidded to 22 straight losses.
Wow.
And after their loss to the Pacers last night, they lost 117 to 112. I mean, they're not losing these games by much. but
a loss is a loss.
A loss is a loss. And they have lost 32 of their last 33. They are one loss away from the record held by the 1995-96 Vancouver Grizzlies and the 97-98 Denver Nuggets, which is 23 straight games. So, two-part question here, Eric. One, do they tie and break the record? And the second question I'll ask here in a minute after we give our answers on this one. Do they break the record, Eric?
Who do they play next?
That would be a good question. Let me pull that up right now.
Yeah, I want to find out before I make my decision. I don't want to see them break the record. You know, you never want to see anybody lose like that so often. Believe me, I know how it feels being a Lions fan, watching the Lions over the last three seasons fall into that category of most road losses by an NFL team ever.
Speaking of the Lions, real quick little sign up before I get. We did get a comment on our Facebook page. I don't know if you've seen it. Our good friend Tony Book.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
He made a comment since the Lions beat the Packers by 3 points that next year he was insinuating that the Lions are going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, I like that. I'm on board.
And if you're listening, Tony, what are you smoking? I'll give you the playoffs. I'll give you a wild card. I ain't giving you the Super Bowl just yet.
I'll jump on the Super Bowl wagon.
I swear to God.
Seahawks could go as far as they did. The Lions got a chance.
Seahawks especially only made it to the divisional.
Yeah.
Remember that. That's not a Super Bowl. To them, it may have been. Back to the Cavaliers. They play Memphis tomorrow.
What's Memphis's record?
Memphis. Let me pull that up as well. Just a couple clicks here. I've got this big old TV.
Oh, you know what? I got a paper in front of me, too. While you're doing that, I'll look.
Memphis has a winning record of 26-24. They've won four straight. They beat Minnesota yesterday, 102-84.
And what was Minnesota's record? Minnesota.
You're going back there some. They were 11-36.
So they beat a weak team. Memphis beat a weak team.
Cleveland's a weak team.
Cleveland's a weak team.
I say
Memphis
they tie.
Memphis is on a four-game winning streak. I guess Cleveland's going to take another loss.
And then to break the record for loss 24 straight would be if they lose at Memphis. At home. Oh, man. At home to Portland Saturday.
And what's Portland's record?
I think Portland's having a pretty good year. They're 26-23. They've lost one. They lost to Denver, which is a good team, 90-109. They're sitting in five games out of first in the Northwest standings behind Oklahoma. Denver looks 29-20. So,
yeah, it looks like Cleveland might take a couple losses in a row.
It doesn't get any better. Then they have Dallas at Dallas on Monday. Detroit a week from yesterday at home. Clippers, who are playing really good. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm trying to find a win here.
Well, Detroit, they may beat Detroit. Detroit's no
pushover.
Yeah.
I think of the ninth would be their first win. I honestly think they're going to break that record through Dallas into Detroit on the ninth. If they lose to Detroit, they've got the Clippers, the Wizards. They could win the Wizards. Lakers, no chance. Houston, no chance. The Knicks and Philly to close out the February. They've got four chances before February's over to get their first win of the season. I think they get it. I'll give it to them at Washington on the 13th. I think the Pistons win.
Wow.
Pistons are playing a little better.
So how many more losses is that? What do you think the record?
23, 24, 25, 26, 27. They will have lost 27 straight going into that Washington game.
Jeez. Isn't that what the... Remember, you might not have been born yet, but what year were you born?
83.
Okay, maybe you were. But the Baltimore Orioles, I think, lost 31... their first 31 games in a row or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I was alive for it. I didn't remember it, but I do remember because I'm a baseball junkie. I know that very well. Yeah, it was 30-something games by Baltimore, yeah.
And it set a record for professional sports, I believe.
That's never been touched since.
Yeah, so, whoa.
Cleveland could get close, maybe.
Oh, that's... Hopefully they don't. Well, I don't know. I'm not a Cleveland fan, but geez, you hate to see somebody get beat up so bad.
I really do, too. Now, with that being said, does this prove that the Cleveland Cavaliers were very, very much LeBron's team?
Well, yeah, I think so, yeah.
I was waiting for that, are you kidding me comment?
Yeah, it's like a proven fact now with that.
Yeah.
With the record that they have and the season that they're having and what LeBron James is doing. You know, he's still fairly consistent with his game.
Yep.
So
and the Heat are playing well. Now, this only proves a point that the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert, even though he was claiming he was surrounding LeBron James with the best players, this proves that he wasn't. Because if you were surrounding LeBron James with the right players he needed to win a world championship for the Cavaliers, then they wouldn't be 8-41 right now.
Yeah, LeBron James would just be one piece of the puzzle.
Yep. This Cavaliers team would have only dropped down a little bit. They may have moved to the middle of the pack there in that division, the Central Division with the Pistons and the Bulls. They would have moved to the middle of the pack, not the bottom of the barrel of the NBA. So that only proves that Dan Gilbert has no clue what he's doing. He screwed LeBron, which is why LeBron left. And I'm sorry, Cavs fans. You can be mad at me all you want. I know I'm going to get some hate mail on this. LeBron.
Well, you're a Cavs fan, right?
No.
Pistons. Oh, I thought you were a Cleveland guy.
No, I'm Cleveland for their baseball and their football.
Okay.
And then I am Detroit for the hockey and the basketball. See, growing up in Toledo, Ohio, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. You get a mixture. What was I saying? Oh, Dan Gilbert screwed you guys more than LeBron James did leaving. Think about it. Before you send me the emails, before you go off on our Facebook page, which is Third and Outside, just search Third and Outside. Facebook, search Third and Outside, 3RD. Think about this for a second. If Dan Gilbert had done what he's told you guys for the entire time LeBron James was there, surrounded them with the right players, this team would not be this bad. So that when LeBron did leave, you guys would still have a decent playoff chance. You don't. You don't have a team. You don't. There's no leader on that team. There's no talent on that team. And it's being proved. So, sorry, Dan Gilbert screwed you guys more than LeBron did. Granted, LeBron shouldn't have done it the way he did, yes, but still, Dan Gilbert screwed you more. All right, that's my little say on that.
Well, Ohio does have a pretty good basketball team going right now.
And that's our next nice lead-in there, bro.
Hey, I'm getting the hang of this a little bit.
Nice lead-in. Yes, they do have an undefeated basketball team, and that is my Ohio State Buckeyes, who recently, this past week, were the unanimous number one in the AP poll. They are 22-0 and don't look like they're letting up. I just throw things around. They have won every game. Their toughest challenge, I'm looking at their record right now, their toughest challenge was this past Sunday at Northwestern, where they won on a... where's my notes here? Jared Sullinger's free throw at the end of the game, giving him the 58-57 win, avoiding the upset. This team's good. They've got Michigan tonight. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 games left until the tourney. Four of them against ranked opponents. I think this team can go undefeated through the Big Ten. I'm looking at it. Everybody they've played, they've already beaten. Here on out. They've beaten everybody. They're coming through their second time through. They haven't played Wisconsin yet. They've played everybody else. They've played Indiana. They've played Illinois. And they've beaten them and all this other good stuff. I think they're going to go undefeated through this. Because Jared Sullinger is a beast.
Through the Big Ten or through their whole season, do you think they'll go undefeated?
They'll go through the Big Ten and the tourney undefeated. They'll come in. I'm honestly going to say it right now. My pick on my bracket this year will be the Ohio State Buckeyes to win the national championship.
Wow.
They remind me. Remember those Florida teams from 05, 06, and 06, 07? The one that back-to-back?
Mm-hmm.
That's who these guys remind me of.
The Florida teams, I don't think, went undefeated, though, did they? I mean, obviously, you got to go undefeated in the tournament. The 05, 06
team did. I think, no, they lost once.
Yeah.
See, the 05, 06 team lost once.
I'm not a Buckeye fan. I am kind of rooting for them to do well because they're in the Big Ten and they're having an awesome season. I'd like to see them lose a game before the tournament starts because, in my mind, that sets the odds better for them. The longer a team, to me, goes undefeated, the more the odds are that they're going to have to lose a game eventually.
I
know teams have gone undefeated and undefeated through the tournament before. I think UNLV was one of them.
Women's Connecticut's done it before quite a few.
Yeah. But you see what I'm getting at as far as...
I see where you're getting at. I see where you're going with it. I think it's just my homerism. wanting them to go undefeated. I mean, because, come on, it's been since the 63, 62 since we've won a national title as a basketball team, and we won them back-to-back. I just want to see my Buckeyes basketball team do something.
Yeah. And
they're doing something. I mean, like I said, Jared Solinger, he's a beast. He's won, like, all but two Big Ten Player of the Weeks this year.
Yeah, the guy's awesome. I got some stats in front of me for him.
Okay.
He's got his free throw percentage is 72%.
Uh-huh. You still there?
No, actually, he's like fourth on the team. As I'm looking down this, I'm sorry. You got Dibbler's at 81%. Thomas is at 84% free throw. I mean, that's when you got guys doing that, that's pretty solid.
Yeah. It's just not him. That's why I think this team can go undefeated, because it's just not him. It's not, okay, let's get the ball to Serringer. You've got William Buford, the Toledo boy, the junior. He can do it. You've got some great backups there. You've got Days and Dilbert. I mean, you've got some great players there that if somebody tries to get Solinger, you just pass the ball off, and you've got somebody there. That's why I think this team can go undefeated. And I agree with you. I do hope that they lose before the tournament. I will be very pissed if they lose in the tournament. Get the loss out of the way. I see that.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. You don't want to lose in the tournament. You can't lose because you're done.
Yeah.
So if fate has it that you need to lose a game in your season,
make it between now and the time the tournament starts, because they'll still get in if they lose in the Big Ten tournament. They're going to be a number one seed even if they lose in the Big Ten tournament. If they go through the next nine games, win them all, and then they lose in the Big Ten tournament, mark Ohio State with the number one seed. Easy. But I see what you're saying. Let them lose. Let them lose now. Let's get it out of the way. I see it. It might happen.
Now, I got a question for you. What do you think's a bigger surprise this season? Ohio State, where they're at, or Michigan State, where they're at?
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, I mean, both. I don't think anybody would have predicted either of the circumstances that either of the teams are. I think more people would have predicted. Well, I don't know. It's a tough one. Ohio State had a good team last year, and they've got returners this year that's making them a good team, right?
Yeah, I would go with the Spartans, actually, because just based on what you just said, they were a decent team last year. They weren't no pushover last year. They had
It's not a huge surprise that they're doing well.
Yeah, they had Evans last year.
Yeah, but it's a pretty huge surprise that Michigan State has fallen out of the top 25.
And for those who don't know what we're talking about, Michigan State is normally a big, huge powerhouse of the, not just Big Ten, but the college basketball world. They're currently sitting at 13-9, 5-5 in the Big Ten. They recently let go of one of their players. Was it Lucas? No, it wasn't Lucas.
I'm not sure.
But they had to let go of one of his players. Tom Izzo, it's just, he can't seem to get this team. And they've gotten 14 straight trips to the NCAA tournament. If they're going to make it, they need to get their butt in gear. You're right. Mm-hmm. So I would have to say, biggest surprise is Michigan State. And another big surprise is Duke losing as many times as they've had. The St. John's of all teams. Now, granted, Duke's only lost twice. And they're fifth in the overall. But they've lost. Let me pull their schedule back up here. I had it, and then I lost it. They lost earlier in the year to... not earlier in the year. They lost this year, January, to Florida State, 66-61. And then they just recently lost to St. John's, 93-78. St. John's put a clinic on them.
Sure.
So... those two losses kind of shocked me, but Duke's still doing good.
Yeah, it's just looked under the standings, they're still at number 5 in the standings that I have.
But not where people had predicted Duke.
Yeah.
They predicted Duke to run the table. Now, Duke can probably still win the national championship. Wouldn't that be cool? Duke and Ohio State for the national title.
Yeah, and I'm definitely rooting for Ohio State. I'm not a huge Duke fan at all. I think Duke could beat Michigan back when they had the Fab Five. You might be too young for that, too.
Nope, I remember the Fab Five.
Jalen Rose. Yeah, I can't
It was 92. I'm not that young. I'll be 28 in a month.
You'll be 28 in a month?
Yes.
My goodness, I'm 10 years your senior. Actually, I'm like 10 and a half years. I'll be 39 in May.
Sorry about that, Grandpa.
I do have a lot of gray in my beard.
That is true. You would have some in your hair, head, but you don't have any.
Yeah. Lost that in my football helmet in high school.
Yeah, I'm getting there too, so I really can't talk between football and baseball too. All right, anything you would like to add, Eric?
Are we wrapping up the show?
Yep, we're wrapping up. We're out.
Oh, yeah, I got to give my time. Aloha.
Aloha from Eric. Quick few little things to run down. ThirdAndOutside.com is up and running. The website itself is not done yet. I've had to switch hosts, but you can go to ThirdAndOutside.com, bookmark it, and you will next time. I should hopefully have it up by the next time. I've been fighting health, like I said, and technical issues over here. So check it out. Check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com. Search Third and Outside, 3RD and Outside. Make sure to subscribe to us if you're listening to us on iTunes. If you're not and you have iTunes, go to iTunes, subscribe, so that you'll get us every time we come on air. I'm also on air at bglradio.net, The Fusion. Check us out, bglradio.net. I am on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11 to 2 p.m., plus a few specialty shows here and there. Like this Sunday during the Super Bowl, I've got to do a country show. So, check us out on
Yeehaw!
That. Yeehaw! We will be putting this podcast on BGL on Saturdays. I was going to do it this week. I'm not going to get it done. I'm behind on everything. I don't know what it is. The snowstorm here has killed us. So, for Eric, I am Wes. You guys have a great rest of your day. Go Packers.
Go Steelers.
And we'll see you guys after the Super Bowl. And we'll be one of us will be bragging. The other one will be crying. One of us will be declared the winner. One of us is going to be very mad. Right, Eric?
Yep.
So, all right. Catch you guys later. Thanks for tuning in. And like I said, subscribe. Make sure you tell your friends about us. Check out the website. Check us out on Facebook. Guys, you got to let us know what you want to know. You got to give us your opinion. So, let us know. All right. Catch you guys later. Thank you for tuning in. Third and Outside is produced and edited by LM Productions. 2010 copyright, all rights reserved.